Hi, this is Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and we're fortunate enough today to be joined by Ed Olczyk, NBC broadcaster, longtime NHL player, and future U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame inductee. Ed, thanks a lot for joining us.
Harry, thanks a lot. Nice to see you again.
I wanted to start off with talking about your getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. A lot of people, a lot of your fans and a lot of people from USA Hockey felt like it's a long time coming. Want to just get some of your thoughts about when you heard you were going to be inducted.
It's something that I've wanted for a long time. I think if you talk to Dave Fisher or Mark Tabram, they talked me off the ledge a couple of times, but I was always hoping that it would happen, and eventually David Ogren called me from USA Hockey and mentioned that I was going to be a part of the class with Mr. Lamoriello and Mike Modano, two hockey icons, not only U.S. hockey icons, but it was a phone call that I'll never forget, and it's very honoring and very humbling and something that is a family I'm very excited about. But I'm really happy for everybody that my family and all the people that helped me, and we're really looking forward to October 15th in Dallas.
So, like you were saying in the presentation tonight, you have your sons who are both playing college hockey. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to get away?
Yeah, they're going to they're both off on that Monday night in October, so we're going to get them down there, and it'll be a family affair, and my folks will be there, and my brothers will be there. My brother Ricky is assistant general manager with the Edmonton Oilers, and my other brother Randy is in real estate in Chicago, so it'll be a family affair, and wouldn't want it any other way because they've had a big impact on my life, and not only on the ice, but more importantly off the ice.
Last year's Hall of Fame, great class, just like this one, but Doc Emrick.
Yeah.
And I would imagine one of the first calls you probably had was from Doc.
Yeah, Doc is a great friend, not only one of the best broadcasters ever, but both my partners, Pat Foley, who I do the games with in Chicago with the Blackhawks, and Doc, were right there front and center when they had heard the news. And I was there at the dinner last year in Chicago with Doc and with Keith Tkachuk and Gary Suter and Chris Chelios. And I mean, it was just a wonderful night. Also, Mr. Snyder was inducted as well. So for me, it was great to see Doc go in, and a lot of great people that have made big impacts in USA Hockey, and to be able to go in with Mr. Lamoriello and Mike Modano, I'm certainly very honored and humbled and couldn't be more proud, and two people that I've known for a long, long time. So, I got a little taste of what the induction's about last year in Chicago and the dinner, and couldn't be more happy for Doc, and we're really looking forward to it.
Speaking of, I wanted to just ask you about Doc Emrick.
Sure.
I don't think there's anybody out there who works harder than Doc. When you're his broadcast partner, does that become somewhat intimidating because, I mean, how hard he works? Or does that just basically help you to really raise your game as well?
Well, I won't argue that. Doc is as prepared as anybody that I've ever been associated with in the National Hockey League, period, at any level, whether playing, coaching, broadcasting. Yes, it is still very intimidating to work with Doc and also with Pat Foley, who I grew up listening to in Chicago as a young boy growing up and always dreaming about playing for the Blackhawks. But when you talk about Doc, it's the understanding is that we're there to tell a story. We're there to talk about the greatest game in the world. But I think is that we have fun. And hopefully that comes across on our broadcast. And you got to be a really good listener to work with Doc, because he has some unbelievable one-liners and information. Whereas if you're not paying attention, the viewer at home will go, where's the response or where is the answer? You got to be on your toes. And Doc's been doing it a long time, and it makes my job a lot easier when you work with a pro's pro. And Doc certainly is that.
One thing I think I speak for a lot of American hockey fans is that we really like about both Doc and yourself is how much you really do promote the American player. Is that a conscious
thing? It is. It really is. It's very important, Harry, that we make mention of our own. Hockey is a worldwide game. It's international. But I think it's very important is that when players are from St. Paul or Southern California or South Boston or Chicago, is that we make mention of it without making it too gaudy or too obvious as that, you know, we're wearing the red, white, and blue. I lived it as a player. I couldn't be more proud to have been an American player to play in the NHL, but couldn't be more proud to be from Chicago, because there weren't a lot of kids from Chicago that played in the National Hockey League until over the course of the last, you know, 15, 20 years. But it is something that I do try to get in there every once in a while. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't fit.
Right.
But I do, yes, I do go out of my way to make sure that I give a little love to our guys that come from our great country.
That's great. That's great. What was the transition like for you to go from being an NHL coach mm-hmm. to working as a broadcaster?
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of saw the writing on the wall in the late 90s, Harry, where I kind of figured my career was coming to an end. So I was lucky enough to get a couple opportunities to work on Westwood One Radio. I've worked with some of the best people and the best voices in the business. I mean, I worked with Bob Miller, who's the voice of the LA Kings, mm-hmm. Sam Rosen, who's the voice of the National Hockey League with the New York Rangers. You know, I got a chance to work with some great people. So I did radio while I was still playing. When I was out of the playoffs, I worked radio. And then also I got some opportunities to do some games on ESPN2. And I continued to play, working the playoffs when I wasn't in there, and just kind of prepared me for life after hockey. And then I got my first consistent job. And when I retired in 2000, I got the job in Pittsburgh and worked with the great Mike Lang, mm-hmm. who's the voice of the Penguins for, you know, I guess Mikey's going on almost 35 or 36 years now. So to get a chance to work with him was great. But I kind of started preparing while I was still playing. And then I got the opportunity to coach in Pittsburgh for a couple of years, and then I eventually went back home and been with the Blackhawks ever since 2006, and then also doing the games on NBC since 2007.
That must keep you real busy.
Yeah, I usually do about 122 games a year, 125 games a year. Like I said a little bit earlier at the symposium that, you know, hey, they pay me to go to a hockey game. I get to talk about the greatest game in the world, and I get to do it pretty much the next night. So for me, it's... I take great pride and responsibility to sit in the chair that I do every night, not only locally in Chicago, but also nationally on NBC. Sam Flood is our boss at NBC, and he's a huge hockey fan, and he's given me the opportunity to be with Doc and Pierre on a nightly basis, and I couldn't be more thankful for that opportunity. And also to the Blackhawks, they allow me to do games nationally, so I miss a lot of Blackhawk games. So John McDonough, team president and CEO, and also Jay Blunk, who's the head of business, you know, they make the decision. They allow me to miss games because there are a lot of teams and a lot of management people that would not allow their broadcasters to miss games. But they understand, and I'm very grateful for them to allow me to do that. So I get my fill of hockey, and then plus in between those games, I get a chance to see my boys in live in person, or this great new thing, the World Wide Web, where I'm able to watch the games on the internet. And so I'm... If I'm not in an NHL rink, Harry, there's probably a pretty good chance that I am at a rink somewhere in the neighborhood.
So a lot of traveling between going to Amherst or going to now to Penn State.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a lot. And then my son plays travel hockey in Chicago, so he's out of town twice a week. So whether we're going to Michigan or going up to Shattuck or going to Boston for a tournament, yeah, we get the old Czech household is pretty full of hockey. And but we wouldn't have any other way because that's all we know. That's how it was for me when I was growing up, and the opportunity to give back and to not only as a dad, most importantly, but also as a coach when I get that opportunity to be on the ice with the kids.
Do you ever miss coaching and think about maybe going back into it someday?
Oh, I miss it a lot. I mean, I help out my son's team, Illinois U16 team in Chicago. There is great satisfaction in that because, A, I'm being around my son, but also, too, I'm giving back to the young hockey players of Chicago. I'm not sure. If it does happen, Harry, I would definitely want to go to the minors and do it. But there's no doubt that the 2+ years I was in Pittsburgh helped me become a better broadcaster, and it really helped me open up the spectrum of the game, of knowing a lot of things that went on behind the scenes that I didn't know as a player. I would never trade in that opportunity to go in Pittsburgh. And yeah, I'm disappointed I get a chance to see the five-year program through. But we had a plan, and business is business, and I understood that. But, you know, right now I'm very comfortable in the seat that I'm in. But, yeah, there's always that lightning bug burning. And, you know, if it happens, great. I mean, I got the opportunity to coach Team USA over in the Ivan Hlinka in 2006, and that was – that was one of the greatest opportunities I ever had. I just really, really enjoyed that opportunity. Unfortunately, we lost to Canada in the championship game, but I really enjoyed that opportunity. And if it happens, it'd be great. But you know, family is first, and it would have to be probably a pretty unique situation to, you know, to hand in my microphone for that.
Right. Now, you've been coming to this event, and you mentioned this tonight in your speech. You've been coming to these symposiums mm-hmm. before. Just your thoughts about this symposium. I mean, looking out at a room of so many dedicated
right.
youth hockey coaches, what's your thoughts?
Well, without them, we don't have hockey. And that's why I thank them a couple of times. And I understand, because I had coaches for me, and I give back now by coaching in Chicago like I do when I have the opportunity. It's a great tool, and it's a great symposium to bring hockey coaches all together and talk and have ideas. No right, no wrong, but it could maybe open up an olive branch for somebody to maybe do something a different way, or broach a different subject, or talk about contact like we did here a lot tonight. But it's Mark Tabram and his staff do an unbelievable job getting everything all together, and people donating of their time, and people coming and spending their money to come here. At the end of the day, yeah, they want to get their level five and move on. But it's also about learning, and without people like this. So I think it's a great event. So happy that Mark asked me to come back, and I was able to, you know, to work it out. And it's important that when you have people like George McPhee and Brian Burke and Danny Bosma and Mike Sullivan and coaches and former players that come in and give of their time and talk. And it's, you don't get many opportunities to be able to chew the fat with hockey people. Right. And, you know, we all think we all know everything. But, you know, like I said, there's lots of different ways to get from point A to point B. But if you can learn a different way or live a different philosophy, or maybe open up the blinkers a little bit, you're going to be better coach for it. And it's not just a coaching aspect. It's just life in general, and right. maybe dealing with people or using a hockey philosophy to in a business deal. And that's what hockey is. It's not the real world, but we all think it is, and that's why it's the greatest game. We have people that give over their time.
I had a chance to interview Bill Ford, who plays mm-hmm. up in the pond hockey tournaments up in Eagle River, and he said that if American business had more people who had the same kind of character as hockey players, we'd probably mm-hmm. be maybe a little bit farther ahead.
Yeah,
right
well,
now.
They're unique. I think hockey people are a unique breed now. Sometimes a little bit too much, a little, you know, cross the line. But I think when you think about the passion and the respect, and for the most part, understanding where you were, where you are, and where you're trying to get to, we all feel pretty passionate about USA Hockey and trying to make it better. And like I said up there earlier, sometimes, you know, I just gotta let the spaghetti boil. You just can't keep prodding it and whatever. You just gotta know. And at a certain time, you know, you gotta take it out and you gotta eat. But the game is at a good place. Always trying to look to improve it, but I think sometimes we just gotta just let it be, and work off of that.
Absolutely. Well, as I was mentioning to you before, like one of the first times I had an opportunity to talk to you was in 2003 Nationals mm-hmm. up in Burlington, Vermont, mm-hmm. where both of your
right,
sons
yeah.
played
Pittsburgh
for the Predators.
Pittsburgh Predators. Yeah.
They sure have come a long way with Eddie at UMass Amherst yeah. and Tommy at Penn State. Can yeah. you just talk a little bit about their progress and how yeah. proud you are yeah. of where they are right now?
Well, I just know how my dad was with me, and I tried to do a lot of those same things because it had a huge impact on my life. My boys have ventured into the hockey world, you know, going from Pittsburgh to the USHL and earning opportunity, and then getting opportunity to go to school and play college hockey. Secondary, we're getting a chance to go to universities that have very good educational standards and get a chance to live pretty good life in college and also play a game that you love and you don't know any different. But, you know, my boys have understood there's a way to do things, and I'd like to think that a lot of it had to do with the upbringing at home, with discipline, but also, too, for the people that helped them along the way. I know it's not easy being the son of ex-player or ex-coach or broadcaster. But they seem to handle it pretty good, and they're their own people, and they're their own players, and their own beliefs and dreams and philosophies. So, but I couldn't be more proud of them, how they are as people, because the greatest compliment you can get as a parent is when somebody grabs you and says, hey, you know what? Nothing to do with hockey. You got very nice boys and very respectable. And we try to teach him Harry at home as discipline or whatever, and you just hope that it's please pass or yes or thank you or no, or it's not slang. It's, well, we don't do that here. And you hope that is once they go out the door is that they're doing the same thing when they're not. And like I said, the greatest compliment you can get from somebody, a coach, is that how respectful they are as people. And that to me is that, you know, that means that Diana Olchek, the one that runs the household, has done a heck of a job, and I've tried to assist on that as well. So, but I'm extremely proud of them, and I have two other kids at home. My daughter is going to be a senior in high school this year, my daughter Alexandra, and I have another aspiring young hockey player, my son Nick, who plays for Team Illinois U16, that wants to follow in the footsteps of his brothers and his dad. And, you know, so we're, like I said, we're hockey 24/7, 365, and but I couldn't be more proud of my kids. I mean, they're good people. We're very lucky. They're healthy, and they're doing what they want to do. And whatever happens after this, we don't know. But so far, so good.
George McPhee had a funny line about how he's been in NHL for 30 years, and yet his kid maybe doesn't listen to him as much.
But
it's like, I want to listen to Coach Rob or Coach Tom. Do your kids come to you for advice?
Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah, I mean, if I see something, like, they'll ask me. I've learned, and especially, and even my young son now, I mean, I go through it with my two older ones. Now I kind of been through the ringer and understand. But if I don't say anything, they're probably more apt to ask. And I allow that, because if, obviously they want to hear what I have to say. Mm-hmm. If you come out right away and start firing, usually it's probably not going to be, you know. So I think as the boys got older, I've backed way off. But there are times when I watch the game, like, they'll, you know, what'd you think or whatever. And then if they open the door, then I'm going to jump right through it, because that's all I know.
Right.
It's a very slippery slope when you talk about not only coaching your kids, but also as they get older, is, you know, the teaching or the advice. And I mean, I had that happen. I talked about choking up on your hockey stick, and my oldest son Eddie had a problem with choking up on his hockey stick, and I would tell him until I was blue in the face, and he just kept doing it and doing it. So I grabbed Tony Amani, who I played with in Chicago in the late 90s, and I said, hey, Tone, you know, can you tell Eddie or whatever? And so Tony grabbed him, he goes, oh, thanks a lot. You know, he was like, I'm going, I've been telling you that for, you know, however many years, right? And then, you know, Denny Savard, who was an assistant coach at the time, Savvy, says, what's the matter? And I told him a story. He goes, well, hey, look, Tony's got 42 goals. You got 18. Who would you listen to? You know? So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, that's, you know, I understood that. And, you know, it was hard. It was hard to get over that. It's something that I've learned over the years. But, you know, they do. They do. And I would hope they always do, regardless. I mean, it's just not hockey.
Right.
But it's just life in general. So I get my opportunity, and sometimes there isn't. They know, and they don't have to say anything. And then, you know, maybe a couple of days later, they'll call up and say, hey, you know, because maybe they're upset or, you know, whatever. So, but I'm a big believer, Harry, of if you are going to critique, and I said this tonight during the symposium, is like, if you're going to call out a guy, or if you're going to, like, when I do on a broadcast, it's just what, you know, why? You know, what was he trying to do? And then come back with something and pat the guy in the back and say, oh, it was a good play by X player, where before you said, you know, he made the wrong play or the wrong decision and a puck ended up in net. But I'm a big believer is that when you do critique your kids, any kids, there's got to be a message in there, and always end with a, you know, with a positive.
Absolutely.
Because I know what it's like to be talked down to or just drilled or berated or whatever. I mean, nobody likes that. I'm not saying nobody deserves that, but I think the teaching method needs to be is that you need to end with a positive.
No doubt. Well, I'm going to end with not only a positive, but also maybe a question that's a little off the wall.
Sure.
Okay, I understand that one of your sons, Tommy, is going to be rooming with Nate Jensen at Penn State.
Yeah.
Now, Nate's dad,
David,
was your teammate
that's right,
in 1984. Yeah. He was also your roommate at the 1986 World Championships over in Moscow.
Oh, wow.
Just just your thoughts about how the hockey world is so small and how things just seem to come kind of full cycle when things like this.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, was it 86 or 89 that we were in Moscow?
86, Chernobyl.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I was going to say, when you turn the lights out, both DH and I glow in the dark, because we were in Moscow when Chernobyl happened. Right. You know what? I mean, playing with him on the Olympic team and, you know, having the same aspirations of playing in the National Hockey League, we got along really well. We just kind of seemed to hit it off. I mean, him being from Minnie and me being from Chicago, and just always seemed to have it's just amazing how you kind of go full circle, really. I mean, you think about it. And when I heard that he was, when Nate was transferring, that was like, wow, you know, I mean, because Tommy told me, he goes, Dad, you know Nate Jensen's dad, you play with him. I go, I knew it wasn't David A. Jensen.
Right.
So I was, wow, David H. Jensen, you know. So just, I mean, you know, plus with the Let's Play Hockey and everything, I've stayed in contact with, you know, with DH and stuff. But it's just kind of really, out of all the schools and all the, you know, just kind of how the routes take you and timing, you know, timing is everything, that was just kind of a pretty interesting come together, how we played together, and now, you know, Nate and Tommy played together last year, and now they're going to be playing Division I hockey and living together, and it's pretty neat.
No doubt. Well, Ed, I want to thank you not only for taking the time to talk to us, but for everything that you do for USA Hockey, and from being here to doing such a great job on the broadcast.
Well, I appreciate that, Harry. Thanks a lot for all you do, and I take great pride in representing our game at all levels, and in knowing that I am representing USA Hockey, and they gave me the opportunity to play our great game way back in the early 70s, and all the people that have helped me along the way, and I'm always a phone call away. I'm not that great on this internet thing yet with email and all that, but I'm very grateful for the opportunity to talk to you again, and look forward to seeing you down the road, and appreciate all the work that you do. And again, thanks to everybody at USA Hockey for involving me in the symposium.
Great. Well, thanks, Ed.
Okay. Thank you.